Luke's attention was drawn to the hidden one. The Keldor ruler was leaning forward, whispering intently to a servant, a young woman. He nodded, encouraging her to act. She moved away around the periphery of the crowd and headed toward the main exit. The blast door opened for her. Luke felt a trickle of danger, but he could not leave these events in order to follow the girl. Ben and Chara exchanged blows and blocks, feints and ploys at lightning speed. They circled, struck, parried, dodged, all to the percussive accompaniment of staves hammering against each other. Ben took a glancing blow to the side of his left knee. His riposte caught Chara in the ribs. Chara pinned him against a pillar. Ben shoved Chara clear, feinted with a staff blow, and spun into a sidekick that caught Chara in the center of the chest, making an audible crack. Chara slammed to the stone again and was slow to rise. The chants of "Chara! Chara! Chara!" continued, but the chanters sounded more uncertain, as if not sure they could encourage their champion to take more damage. In the force, Luke could feel the change. Ben, hurting from several blows, remained focused, razor sharp. Chara was losing the will to win. They came together again. Ben let Chara get inside his guard and lock up his staff. It was not, as it first looked, a mistake of inexperience. Chara yanked, an attempt to disarm Ben, but Ben offered no resistance. Ben's staff went flying, but Chara stumbled backward, off balance. Ben followed, hammering Chara in the chest and stomach with a boxer's barrage of blows. As Chara tried to rally, bringing his staff up, Ben struck at the weapon itself, breaking it in two. The open palm blow continued onward to crack against Chara's chin. Chara went down. This time, he did not immediately struggle to rise. The crowd went mostly quiet. A few Keldors offered little groans of disappointment. Ben limped to where his weapon lay. He picked it up and, impassive, turned to face the hidden one. Ithia moved up to kneel beside Chara, who was moving at last, attempting to rise. She helped him sit up, but did not allow him to stand. The hidden one stared at Ben. His expression was unhappy, but Luke suspected he actually felt some measure of grim satisfaction.
"You win!"
The hidden one's tone was flat, almost emotionless.
"Your father may continue his tedious complaints so long as he has breath within his body, but he's still wrong about what we're doing here, about the life within us."
"No, master."
That was Chara. His voice pained.
"He may be right."
The hidden one turned to glare at him.
"Not you too."
Chara struggled to rise. Abandoning her futile attempt to keep him still, Ithia helped him to his feet.
"Master,"
he said,
"I am this boy's superior in fighting skill. I am strong in the force. But he won. He won through the will to win, through conviction, through strength of purpose. I lost because I lack these things."
"Perhaps you do."
The hidden one sounded scornful.
"But it is because you have listened to him."
He gestured at Luke.
"He has confused you, diverted you from your purpose. Once he is gone, you will return to the correct path."
Luke stepped forward to stand beside his son. "Gone? So we can leave?" The hidden one shook his head.
"No one leaves. I have made that clear already. No, you are not going to leave. But very soon, things will return to normal."
He took a deep breath, assuming a regretful expression as he looked among his people.
"I'm sorry, but the Skywalkers are clearly too dangerous to live among us, and they know too much to be free."
Luke returned Ben's lightsaber to the boy. "So you're going to kill us?" Burra, the ancient Keldor, shook his head vehemently.
"That is not our way, master."
"I will not do it,"
Ithia said. Others echoed her sentiment. The hidden one glared down at Luke.
"Do you see what you've done? Until your arrival, they were satisfied. Obedience to our goal, our destiny, was our first concern. Now you've made them...
alive?" Luke kept his tone quizzical. The Hidden One glared at him for a moment, then turned his attention to the Keldors.
Of course we will not murder them. That is not our way.
As a sigh of relief circulated among his followers, he added,
I have informed those above that the Skywalkers died in a collapse of the cave they were excavating. Above, they now know not to send down any more oxygen-nitrogen canisters. We will not kill the Skywalkers, but in the matter of a day or two, once their remaining canisters have been depleted, the atmosphere of Doran will...